pilgrims and arrived on time, planning the pilgrimage several months in advance. They would have helped to deliver the baby, clean the stable, and set up a rota so that people from the church would bring round meals for 7 days. And they'd have organised the congregation to distribute hampers to all the other refugees who were stranded in Bethlehem that night. Anyway, it's funny that Elizabeth gave me some coins, because my first Christmas present this year was a bag of coins. And I came into the office one day, and in my pigeonhole there was a bag of silver. And I thought, well, fantastic. Somebody knows it's the credit crunch, and they've given me a little bit extra this year. I thought maybe the bishop had been kind to me. But on closer inspection, it was only chocolate coins. So I was a little bit disappointed, but I do like chocolate. But the bag of silver coins made me start thinking about some other stories in the Bible, because I thought, well, silver coins, what's that got to do with Christmas? But there are other stories, aren't there, in the Bible where they mention a bag of silver coins. I don't know if anyone can think of one. The first one, any ideas? Judas, that's right. The first one that came to my mind was Judas. And Judas and the high priest, that's right. Because Judas went in secret, and the high priest came to him, and the high priest was trying to do a deal, I think.
Do you want to do a deal?
Yeah. I'll give you 10.
For Jesus, 50.
Christmas prize,
20.
No deal, no deal, not 20.
About 25.
40. Might be a recession, but it's 40.
30.
30's a deal.
Okay, right, so that was Judas and the high priest, I think. Can anyone think of another story in the Bible? Oh, thanks. So I've got a microphone here, where there's silver coins mentioned. It's another story of betrayal, actually. And this one was came to my mind, well, about 2 weeks before Christmas, because there was a Christmas play here done by Poynter School. And that's right, Joseph. Joseph was betrayed and sold as a slave for some money, I think. I think that's right. I'm sorry, wasn't it Joseph, not Josephine? I'm dreaming it was all over.
Can you all give me any money? Oh! Oh!
Thank you very much. Should we give him a round of applause? Well, I think since it's Christmas, I should probably share out my money. What do you think? Does anybody like chocolate? Do you? There you go. Okay. Well, this might take a bit of time, so I think I'm going to have to throw it up. Do you want to catch? I don't think I can run up there. Is there more coming? Whoa. Do you want some? Some more over there? All right. There you go. Okay. It's all gone. Happy Christmas. Well, it's good to know the whole story of the Bible, and it's good to know how all the different parts fit together. And I just wanted to give a little plug, because in the new year here at St. John's, we're going to be studying the whole Bible. And we're going to be starting in the beginning of February in Genesis, and we're going through the whole Bible. So if you've never read the Bible before, and if you were a bit unsure about some of those stories, then come and join us, because we're going to be looking at all the different stories and how they fit together. It's an exciting read. And the two readings we had this morning from the Bible, one was from Matthew and the other one was from Revelation, the beginning and the end of the New Testament. And if you think about those two readings, they give us, in a sense, the complete picture of who Jesus Christ was. If we just had Matthew and the Gospels and those birth narratives and stories, we'd get a very different picture of Jesus. But if we read to the end of the story, to the end of Revelation, we see that Jesus was not an insignificant, obscure baby or child living in a distant part of our world, but Jesus was actually the King of Kings, the Lord of history, the Lord of all eternity. He was and is the most significant character in the history of our world. And if we can get to grips with this story of the Bible and this story of who Jesus is, then God will strengthen our lives. God will build hope. And whatever situations we face, whether they be financial or physical or sickness or intellectual questions, the Bible can help us with all of that. And over our Christmas services, we've been thinking about the theme of hope and the issue of hope in our lives. And there's lots of people, famous ones, that have written about hope. And Martin Luther King, I thought I'd just read this quote to you, said about hope. If you lose hope, somehow you lose the vitality that keeps life moving. You lose that courage to be, that quality that helps you go on in spite of it all. And if you identify with losing hope, then I encourage you perhaps to read the Bible and get to grips with its story at Christmas and in the new year. Did you know that after the terrorist attacks in New York in September 2001, there was a reported increase in sales of Bibles? And the Daily Telegraph carried the headline that Bible sales had risen in most of the high street booksellers. Oetker's reported a 25% increase in Bible sales in 2001. Borders Books reported a 3- to 4-fold increase in sales after September 11th. And even the Church of England bookshop, the Church House Publishing in Westminster, described sales of the Bible as buoyant. The Bible, obviously people turning to read God's word as a sign of hope, something to hold on to in that time of uncertainty and insecurity. If you haven't got a Bible, and if you would like to take a part of the Bible, we've got some Gospels, we're giving them out free over Christmas season. So take one if you'd like to. They're on the table at the back, the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Luke. Do read the whole story there of Jesus' life. Back to the theme of hope, and there's a poet called Yuna Moritz. She's a Russian poet, and she was writing a poem about the weather, and there's a line in it. It's not about the British weather, but it's about a cold Arctic landscape. And one of the lines is about hope, and I thought I'd just share it with you this morning. It says, "I live on a frozen shore, but in some secluded corner of the heart, I always keep hope." And when I read that line, it kind of touched me, and it got me thinking about the state of hope in my heart. And sometimes I know it feels like it's in a secluded corner, and everything on the outside is rather frozen and chilly, and hope is a little bit elusive. Made me think about Mary and Joseph on their journey that first Christmas. I wonder where hope was really in their hearts. It's easy to think that it was a nice kind of romantic, safe, cozy scene. But unlike us, they didn't know what the end of the story was going to be. They didn't know whether their baby would survive the smelly, damp and disgusting conditions of the manger. They didn't know if they would escape the wrath of Herod and ever be able to return to the carpenter's workshop in Nazareth. They didn't know that their son would be the most famous person in history. They didn't know that their son, when he was killed on the cross, would actually be raised to life 3 days later. Hope must have been hard for Mary and Joseph, not only that Christmas night, but throughout their parenting experience. But we know that the hope that they managed to uncover in their hearts that night bore for us an eternal hope. I don't know about you, but sometimes Christmas can feel a little bit like an anticlimax, and there's so much build-up, but it doesn't always live up to what our expectations are. Well, I hope that's not the case for you this year. But the Bible says this about hope. It says, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And in the reading from Matthew, we read about how the Holy Spirit was at work in Mary and Joseph. And you have to conclude that it was the work of the Holy Spirit that brought about hope for Mary and Joseph in those bleak circumstances that they found themselves in that Christmas. If you're in need of a fresh dose of hope, ask God to touch you, to fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit, and just like Mary and Joseph, receive that gift of hope in your life today. Christmas doesn't offer us an instant fix to any of life's problems. It doesn't give us any easy or simple answers. But Christmas can definitely be a time to rekindle hope, to kind of defrost the shores of our hearts and let hope rise to the surface. Ask God to fill us afresh with his Spirit as we remember how God came to earth to save, to redeem, to rescue us from death. The end of the Bible story, Revelation, says this about our God. Great and marvellous is he, just and true, a God who is King of the ages. That's the God of Jesus Christ. That's God's gift of hope to us this year. Let's, as we go through the service today, open our hearts to his Holy Spirit and ask him to fill us afresh. Amen.